Again. Okay. Hello. Welcome to episode 2 of Players Endeavors.
I'm glad you remembered it was episode 2. I almost forgot.
Yeah. Well, Matt keeps reminding me because he's like, you started episode... Hey. He kept going, Blake, are you on episode 2? And I was like, yeah, we did the second... Oh, we started at 0. And he's like, yeah.
Who's Matt?
Matt's one of our friends. He's also a programmer on our project.
What's our project?
Our team. Memento.
What is Memento?
It's the next big upcoming game this year from Blind Horizon Studios.
So keep an eye out for that.
And we'll link the blog in the description.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah. I'm on top of things.
Good.
So, I'm Blake.
I'm Dustin.
Sorry we missed last week. We just didn't have time.
No, Blake was sick.
I guess I was tired. Sick.
Was playing games? I don't know.
I was playing games. I played Final Fantasy 13. So, but this week, we'll bring you an all-new episode.
As opposed to a rehash
episode? It would be really funny if, like, we had, like, episode 5 and we just use an old episode. We might be able
I think when you only have 2.5 episodes, you can't really reuse one yet.
No. And they haven't even listened to the half one.
Yeah. You don't know where it is. You lost it.
It's on a computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are we talking about today?
Well, first we're going to start with what we've been playing.
We're not going to preview what we're going to talk about?
We can preview it to get people to keep listening.
There you go.
So, we've noticed lately that quite a few other games are looking at Skylanders and being like, huh, maybe we can get in on some of that action.
There's two
games that we're going to focus on. So, you can try to guess what those games are while we talk about what we've been playing.
Good. That'll
keep them busy. So, Dustin, why don't you let us know what you've been playing?
What I've been playing is that's the segment. It's named still.
That's what you... Fine. Welcome to Dustin's Soapbox.
But what are you going to call it when you talk?
Blake's Soapbox.
We need to think of a real name for this.
All right.
If you come up with a name, let us know.
In the comments.
Last week. What should we play? Well, it's because there was no video last week.
Comments 2 weeks ago for our Animal Crossing special.
Animal Crossing special.
Yeah.
Episode 2 is Animal Crossing special.
This is the Skylanders special.
Alright, awesome. Anyway, so what I have been playing... Well, I did buy the Halo Spartan Assault for my Windows tablet, and it's really pretty. I was really impressed, actually. Like, did you see it? Did I show it to you?
No, you didn't show it to me.
Oh, well, if you had seen it, you would have said, wow, that's really pretty. It integrates really well with...
really pretty.
Yeah, you didn't see it, so you can't say that. It integrates really well with the Halo 4 in general. It has a bunch of unlocks and things associated with your Xbox Live account, so I was impressed that they're trying to, like, create more extended universe stuff by tying all of their games together. Gameplay is really cool. It's like a top-down shooter, but really pretty, and you play as a female Spartan, which is awesome.
As opposed to other top-down shooters that aren't really pretty...
Yes. Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Do you play a lot of top-down shooters that are really pretty? Can you name them to me?
What do you mean by, like, top-down shooter? Like,
the camera is fixed above the player.
What's the Valve game that was a top-down shooter that they'd release for free?
TF2?
No. Alien Swarm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was really pretty.
Okay, all right, fine. You got good. You got one. Well, this is really pretty and polished, and it's got Spartans.
But it's running on a tablet, which is impressive.
It is. It's running on a tablet, which is impressive. And I think it also runs on phone, because I believe you can download it on your Windows phone as well. I'm, like, 90% sure of that.
90?
90% sure. Regardless, it's really pretty. The audio is amazing, and I don't know, I really enjoyed it. I haven't played it, like, very much yet, but I enjoyed what I played. Definitely worth the $7 for, like, a nice portable Halo experience.
Who made it?
343, I believe.
Okay.
I think they had to, because it's linked in with Halo 4 itself. Although, actually, I don't know if they made it. They might have shipped it off to somebody else.
We can look that up. Because we have internet-capable devices.
Alright, well, why don't you look that up while I talk about other stuff I played. I had a list, and I kind of forgot
what the name of the game?
Halo Spartan Assault.
Okay.
Oh, I played. I finally got a chance to play Receiver, that cool experimental FPS that came out for one of the There's an FPS Game Jam, actually, which is really cool, that it came out for, and it was on the Steam sale for, I think, like $2. So I picked it up because I really like FPSs, and it's really awesome. It forces you to learn to reload a weapon, like, the way you actually would do so, with a bunch of complicated key presses that mimic pretty much every action, from putting the bullets into the magazine all the way up to, like, firing the weapon itself. I mean, it's a really neat experience. I definitely want to play more of it. It's really pretty much just a tech demo, but it's a really cool tech demo. You can tell it was made for a game jam, but it's impressive that it was made in a short period of time with such attention to detail in the things that they considered were important. So it's really cool.
It was developed by 343 and Vanguard.
Vanguard, that's... Okay, yes. There wasn't... I thought I remembered seeing somebody in the credits. I remember you
saying someone else had made it, too.
Yeah, I thought I had seen somebody in the intro.
And Vanguard is known for quite a few games. My Horse and Me, very, very popular. Greed Core, and Gatling Gears.
Oh, they made Gatling Gears?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that game's cool. I like that game.
So that's who they are.
Yeah.
And 343 made Halo 4 and Halo Anniversary Edition.
Yes, yes, they did.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
No, my Halo.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me how Halo 3 ended.
I don't know that much about Halo.
Oh, wow, that's weird. Anyway, let's see, what else did I play? What was the other thing? Oh, I got to try the new HD version of Resident Evil Revelations, finally. It came with my solid-state drive for free for no specific reason, but...
It originally came out on the DS.
3DS.
3DS, sorry. In February of 2012, so they then, since it was the best Resident Evil game in years, they decided, hey, why don't we port this to
everything else?
Everything else, since people will probably buy this more than they bought Resident Evil 6.
Sad to say, but it's really cool, actually. Really pretty. It's a nice port. Like, I am genuinely impressed that that was a 3DS game that is now running on my 1080p monitor, like, in pretty good visuals. So I need to play it more, obviously, but getting to see it, I was really impressed with what they'd done. Something. What else did I buy? Oh, Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. That was the other thing. Just go buy it. I mean, seriously. Like,
what if
should,
we haven't played
go buy
Far Cry
3? It doesn't matter. It's not related in the story.
Really?
It's pretty much what it is it's a standalone DLC pack, so you don't even need the base game to play it. And pretty much it's an 80s action movie with combined with an 80s video game. And it's quite entertaining, actually. I mean, it's just over the top everything. It has this great soundtrack. Like, you fight giant dragons that explode when you kill them with, like, a blue bow. The weapons are ridiculous. The enemies are androids. You rip their hearts out to get money. I mean...
It's
crazy.
Sounds like every other game.
No, the only other game I know of you can rip people's hearts out is, oh, crap. The Darkness. You actually do
that.
That
actually sounds really cool. I might pick that up. I heard it was really amazing from my other
I have The Darkness 1, if you want to
play it. I'm at Far Cry 3.
Oh!
Blood Dragon.
Oh, yeah. You should totally get both of those. Far Cry 3 is amazing.
I know. I saw you play it.
Yeah, it's
really
good.
It made me want to play it. I want to play Tomb Raider first.
Oh, play that first, yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we should finish,
The Last
of Us so we can do our podcast on that.
Yeah, that's why we're doing a podcast on Skylanders this week.
Because Blake is lazy.
No, you'll hear in my What I've Been Playing segment, or...
About all the...
Blake's banter.
Blake's banter. Good, that's good, I like that.
That I've been doing a lot of gaming, just nothing to do with The Last of Us.
Alright, fine. And the last thing I've been playing is really silly. It's this airport security game for Android. What is it called?
Let me look it up, because I've been playing it too, and it's
this will be our segue. That way you can just... I'll just mention it.
This is a good airport
segue.
Airport Scanner.
Airport Scanner. It's a free download on Android, and it's a quirky puzzle game where you play as a TSA
agent. It's
not
really a puzzle game.
I think it's a puzzle game still.
Okay. It's a mini game.
It's a lot of fun. You play as a TSA agent scanning people's bags looking for, like, illegal stuff.
Really ridiculous illegal stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they start you off with pistols and axes, and it gets crazier from there. I mean, we're talking, like...
Dynamite,
cell phone, bombs, bottles of water,
gas.
And... Gas? Cans of gasoline,
yeah.
And then Shark Jaws. This is probably the weirdest one I've seen. Shark Jaws and Shuriken.
Shuriken's funny.
Yeah, so...
Oh, and you can also find, like bullets, just straight, like, just bullets.
Yeah, it's really quirky, but I don't know. It's been a really fun puzzle-type game.
Passes the time.
Yeah, it does. I play it at work sometimes.
Played at work.
Yeah, sometimes.
It's good. I've been playing a different game.
At work?
At work.
It's called Memento?
Yeah, it's called what I've been working on.
Better be. Alright, well, that's pretty much all I've been playing this week. What about you?
So, I guess I was gonna play The Last of Us. But then I got into, like, a JRPG mood. And I have a ton of JRPGs I haven't played. So I played a lot of Final Fantasy XIII, because I've really wanted to beat that. So I started that back up, and I started at because I haven't played in a couple of years, so I had to get myself caught up on the story. And I started right after, like, the fifth arc, for people who play the game. And now I'm currently doing a bunch of backtrack side missions that you actually need to do to be powerful enough to do the main game in the open world segment.
We call that grinding.
Yeah, except everyone loves it because it's the first time they give you an open world. It's almost like, here, do this activity that's gonna make you wanna, like, bleed your eyes out, but hey, look, you're not in a hallway anymore! And it's like, yay, look, I can run around!
I saw the quote-unquote open world map. It's...
Well...
It's pretty much just the hallway.
You saw the hallway portion of the open world map. They have this giant open world. It's like, it's pretty big. It's like the biggest part of the biggest open world part of the game. And then they just make you go through hallways for all the little subquests. But then there's this giant open world part. And the moment you get in, it's like, oh, let's go back over here. It's like, oh, I was enjoying the fact that I wasn't claustrophobic anymore.
I didn't think you were claustrophobic.
I'm not, but, like, maybe Lightning is.
Maybe.
So I've been playing that. Also, partially because of Nintendo's, buy Shin Megami Tensei 4 and get Fire Emblem, and if you have Fire Emblem Awakening, you get $30 eShop credit, and the fact that, Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Dual Destinies is coming out exclusively on Nintendo eShop and not, in physical form, I decided, and I have played quite a few games in the SMT Shin Megami Tensei series. I decided to buy Shin Megami Tensei 4. For those of you that don't know, Shin Megami Tensei is a JRPG series.
What? It's in Japanese? I didn't know that.
You couldn't tell by the non-American name.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's also named after the creator, isn't it?
No.
Who's Shin Megami Tensei?
Is it a character? No, it means, like...
It's not a name?
God... of divination. It's some, I don't know. I looked it up the other day and I don't remember what the hell it means. But
that feels silly.
It started as Megami Tensei, and then Shin Megami Tensei was, like, kind of a spin-off, kind of. They're based off of a book series, I found out. A really poorly written book series. But, like, it's the entire point of it is they all share this common demon world, and they also have common elements like demon fusing. And so there's a bunch of sub-series off of this, which is the main line, which is the Shin Megami Tensei line, and then you have Devil Survivor, which are DS games that are tactical RPGs, and then you have, or SRPGs, and then you have the Persona line, which is where they're most well-known for, in America at least.
Shin Megami Tensei means literally true goddess reincarnation.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. And so I think it meant, like, goddess reincarnation before they added the shin or whatever. I don't know. I don't know how to speak.
I'll look that one up.
I don't speak Japanese. So...
Rebirth of the goddess.
Okay. So I've really been, So I started that. It's, It took me 2 hours to get through the tutorial, which was a first. And, I mean, it wasn't like Final Fantasy XIII's tutorial, which I would argue is 18 hours long. Where it's just long and tedious hallways. But Shin Megami Tensei 4's tutorial is just hard. And it's kind of fun and refreshing to play a game that's that difficult. But at the same time, it's like, this is already a 60-hour long game, and it's just going to be hard the entire way.
So you're going to beat that?
Eventually.
When you're 80.
When I'm 80. With all my other... I love JRPGs, and I don't have any time to play games. It's a weird trade-off. So those are the...
Switch up to FPSs.
Yeah, so the gameplay... The game's actually pretty standard, I think. I mean, you basically go around a dungeon, getting demons to be your companions, and then using them to fight other demons, going through this story about how you're a samurai, but all your technology is computerized, and you have an AI partner, and it's really strange, but
so
it's kind of
cool.
Halo. No.
You just said
Halo's,
you're a warrior.
You're not a samurai in Halo.
You're like a modern samurai.
Yeah. You're also not allowed
to... You don't get a sword.
You're also not allowed to go see your family ever again.
So it's Halo.
Okay, fine. So it's SMT Halo. I've also been playing... One of the things that inspired this is I played a little bit more Skylanders. Spyro's Adventure, the first one, because I'm still trying to get through that. Because I just got it recently. Because for a while I was like, I'm not going to get this. I'll just buy every toy. And now I've gotten it, and I haven't bought every toy, thank God. But
I haven't paid enough yet.
I haven't been paid enough to get all the toys. But I have a few of them, and it's a really cool game so far. I can definitely understand why people buy all the toys. And especially from Dustin, who refuses to watch me play it extensively because he's afraid he's going to want to buy it and then buy all the toys.
That would happen. Will happen at some point, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
We just watched the trailer for Swap Force, and woo.
Swap Forces. And I don't know. All of them, like, the cool thing they do with Skylanders, and we'll talk more about this later, is, like, with each iteration, they're like, oh, hey, you know, in the first one you had these cool swappable toys? What if you had giant toys? And it's like, oh, giant toys are pretty cool. And then in Swap Force, it's like, oh, you know how you had all these Skylanders? What if you could mix and match Skylander pieces? And you're just like, oh, I'd like that a lot.
So the next ones come with, like, AI that makes them alive or something?
That'd be really... Yeah, they come with actual pets, and you can, like, swap pet parts. It's gonna be really weird. So...
Yeah.
Coming next year from Activision.
This is turning into Toy Soldiers, the movie, really quickly.
I've never watched... I have seen that, I think. It was scary.
The toys come alive.
Yeah.
Because of AI chips in them.
Oh, I don't know that.
The company is called Activision.
Is it really?
No.
Oh.
I'm just saying that.
That'd be crazy if my Skylanders came alive.
What else have you been playing, Blake?
This really great indie game that Dustin hates called Thomas Was Alone.
I don't hate it. It's just a platformer. That's my feelings about
and,
platformers.
Does that resemble your feelings on the indie market? Since
no.
Almost every indie game is a platformer? Except ours. Damn it.
Actually, ours is kind of a platformer. But way cooler.
Ours is a on rails runner, really.
Except there are no rails. Whispering to the mic to try and talk to the audience doesn't work because they can't see you.
That's a good point. So, Thomas Was Alone was really awesome because
I'm still playing.
It made you feel compassionate about little rectangles, and the story was really, really cool. It was about AI. Speak of the devil. The characters were really interesting, and the gameplay, like, the way that the characters, you use each of the characters, because essentially, you have a bunch of these different rectangles, and you can switch between the rectangles, and you need to in order to get through the level. And you need to maybe stack them, or some of them have different abilities. Like, one of them can float on water, but the rest die in water. And some of them can jump higher than others. And some of them are just useless, and you need to figure out how you're going to get the useless ones through the level. Even though they kind of try to make the point, I think...
Christopher.
Yeah, I think they try to make the point that, like, everybody has a use, kind of, but Christopher's always useless.
Except for that one part where you have to stick him through that space that's exactly his height.
Yeah. One use for Christopher. He just falls in love. That's all he's good for.
I feel like it was a spoiler.
That was a spoiler.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, no, I don't have to play that game anymore.
So it's a really awesome game. And you should all check it out because you should all own it from one of the Humble Bundles. Just look in your Steam library for Thomas Was Alone, and I'm sure you'll find it there.
That's what happened to me. Didn't realize I had that until Blake was like, you should play this. And I was like, I don't know if I have it. And I checked
and then
lo and behold.
Well, I said the word Tumble Bundle, and he was like, oh, I have that.
I do have most of the Humble ones. That is true. I just checked my Steam library. You know how many games I have?
How many?
250.
You have 100 more than I do.
That's a lot.
How many of those have you played?
I think it's around 100 of them. But a lot of them I keep buying because they're on sale, and
and
I have them on Xbox already,
oh.
But I might as well buy them because they're on Steam sale.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm becoming a PC gamer again.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There's a lot of things wrong with that. That'll be another episode.
The things that are wrong with that is mainly the amount of money it costs to be a PC gamer.
RMAing my graphics card right now.
Yeah.
Ew.
My graphics card's fine. Ever since I installed my solid state drive, it's my game stopped crashing after the first time I opened them. I was having this problem for a while.
Do you think they care?
No. So
you're welcome. Welcome again.
Welcome to the Blake's Tech Talk section.
Are you done talking about everything you played? You've been rambling for like 8 minutes about.
I think that's everything.
Phew.
Maybe I'll release
And none
another...
of those was The Last of Us. That's weird.
I played a little bit of The Last of Us.
The fact that you say little bit
like an hour
implies
or
you
two.
Didn't play The Last of Us.
I got the car. Spoilers.
You gotta be careful about that. you get the worst comments from that when you're just like, oh, and by the way, like, spoiler. I don't even want to say one because I'm kind of afraid of what would happen.
Aeris dies.
That's a spoiler.
Yeah, but that's like the spoiler.
You know, I didn't know that.
I didn't
for like
know
the
that.
Longest time.
I didn't know that until I played it and she died, actually.
You spoiled this for me, like, sophomore year.
I did?
Yeah.
I was the one who spoiled that?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. The funny thing is, I didn't play it in college. I made it to senior year of high school without knowing that, and played it and was like, oh my god. Like, that was one of the most tragic moments of the game for me. But anyways, let's talk about our main topic this week.
Which is?
Toys.
For Bob.
Toys for Bob is the company that made Skylanders. But we're actually...
That was the joke.
Yeah. We're making toys... The topic... We're making toys. No, the topic... we're announcing today that Blind Horizon Studios is manufacturing toys. It's part of our new game, Memento.
I'm shaking my head at him vigorously.
The recent surge due to Skylanders of toys interacting with our games. And what essentially is physical DLC.
That is a good way to put that.
Yeah.
We should talk about the history of this. Because there's a bit of a history.
Let's go back in time. So
we should link to that.
Basically, toys. The story is, for Skylanders, at least.
We should go back further. Back to the original game that had a toy with it. Rob.
Oh. Let's go back to 1985.
Yeah, I just want to ground this a little.
Slash earlier, where Nintendo... had this thing called the Robotic Operating Buddy. I'm pretty sure it was on the Famicom first, but don't quote me on that. And then in America, when the NES came out, they sold the... they had ROB packages with it because they were trying to cater the NES towards a toy store market because due to the game crash of the late 70s, video games were no longer popular in like adult areas. And so Nintendo revitalized the market by getting kids into it, and then it just kind of went to everybody else. And now those kids grow up and buy...
Wii U's.
And every other console.
Wii U's.
Actually, okay. because as the ESA tells us, the average age of game players is 33.
Is that from this year's data?
It's been the same for a few years. That's probably wrong. I'm probably gonna.
Yeah, now it's gonna have changed though. Now that we're using it in something.
Well, it might have changed because of the social gaming boom. But
that'll be another week.
Yeah. So there was this thing I had called Rob, and I have a Rob and Gyroscope for it because the other game for it is expensive. And
there are only two games for it. We should point that out.
Yeah. And so for Gyroscope, you have this little like.
Did you describe Rob at all?
Oh. Rob's this robot, like, he's in Super Smash Bros. Brawl,
And he's this little robot, almost Wall-E looking, really.
He's made of plastic.
He's made of plastic.
And he plugs into the NES.
Yeah, he plugs into the NES, which is crazy. And he had this little base. And you can move his arms with an NES controller and make him, like, do stuff with it. And he also has claws. And so the one game I have, which is Gyroscope, is there's these two little... It almost looks like a chemistry... Or, like, a not chemistry, I don't know, physics experiment... And, because you have this base with these little rotating gyros on them, and you have to put the rotating gyros in this certain location that rotates this other part that causes the NES controller that's on Rob to, like, hit inwards. So I'm pretty sure you're using one NES controller to control Rob. I can't remember perfectly. But essentially, there's this entire toy interaction and this entire thing that lets you play this game.
Back in the 80s.
Back in the 80s.
Which is kind of funny.
1985. But Rob didn't sell that well.
No.
At all.
They're pretty hard to find even now.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually missing a claw, so I can't play Gyroscope. But.
That sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna. I've been meaning to look for another claw.
There's gotta be other.
Any of you have a missing Rob, or a Rob claw, feel free to send it my way.
You should make sure the serial numbers match.
What?
Serial numbers, they should match. Otherwise, how do you know it's the Rob claw that came with your Rob?
Oh.
You gotta get the one that went with it.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good idea. So, so I'm not sure. There were toys based on video games, but I don't know of any that interacted with games.
I'm sure there were some, but I can't think of any good examples either. They didn't do well.
Maybe,
if
like,
they
barcodes or something that you could use stuff with, like...
Well, there was the e-reader.
Yeah, and I think Neopets had something for a while where you could
Neopets,
scan online.
Tamagotchis.
There were those stuffed animals that you could buy. I forget what they were called, but they were really big and they were super expensive. Webkinz. Webkinz were really popular for a while, and I think that's very similar to this. Do you know what Webkinz are?
I don't. I doubt they do either.
So essentially, like, it wasn't our generation. It was the reason I know about this is my sister, who's four years younger than me. Like, got really into this thing called Webkinz. And essentially, this company was selling stuffed animals at a premium price, made them, like, really, really attractive. And the way they did that is you could take these stuffed animals, they had, like, a little code on them, you could input the code on an online site, and then you could play with your Webkinz in a game online.
Oh, so that wasn't even, like, it was just a code.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a genius.
Yeah. And so parents would be buying these overpriced stuffed animals, just so their kids could play with these stuffed animals online.
Could get a randomly generated serial code that unlocks some generic-looking model on an online game. Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Why didn't we do that?
Another thing was there used to be those... this thing where you would... This game thing that you'd hold in your hand, and you'd scan... You would scan barcodes, and it would make random monsters appear and stuff.
What is it called? I don't remember that.
It was like Battle something, I think.
It didn't sell well.
It didn't sell well.
Webkinz might have, though.
Webkinz, I think, sold pretty well. I haven't heard about them anymore, but it might just be because my sister grew up.
But these were all definitely like... With the exception of Rob, most of the time it's a toy trying to sell a pretty bad game.
Well, Skylanders actually did that, too, because I don't know if you know this, and it's not online anymore... But every Skylander came with a code that you could input on this website to play an online Skylanders game where you played with your Skylanders in your on some browser-based game.
Why would you do that?
I don't.
When you have the Skylanders.
Because they were trying to push this idea of, oh, you can play with Skylanders on anything. And I think they're releasing a new game version of that. But
that wasn't my point.
I'm just saying, like, this entire idea of let's interact with these toys in the game, I think really started on this kind of browser movement.
Almost. Yeah, but then I think that the key differentiator, or one of the big key differentiators, is that instead of a toy company trying to make a poorly made game with a toy that's pretty good, now we have a game company making a good game with, like, toys that are kind of toys.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting reversal.
So if we fast forward a few years to when Toys for Bob started working on Skylanders, which I believe was 2009-ish, is when they might have started working on it. What happened was Activision approached Toys for Bob, because it was one of their subsidiaries, and said, hey,
We have the Spyro IP that we're not doing anything with. Everyone's hated the last few times we tried to revitalize Spyro, since we've gotten it from Insomniac. So, why don't you try to do something with this? And, Paul Ritchie, the guy behind Toys R Us, the reason we know this story is he gave a talk at the IEEE conference in Rochester.
What's IEEE stand for?
The International Electronical Engineering.
I don't know what it is. I was just asking.
It's like the international. I don't know what one of the E's must mean something not that's not society, but essentially it's an international society for electronic engineering. And they ended up just having a ton of branches in different parts of technology. So they have one on games.
Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers.
Okay. And they have...
IEEE?
Yeah.
There you go.
And they have one... They have a division for, like, games. So we went to that when it was in Rochester. And Paul Ritchie gave a talk on the history of Skylanders. And so the interesting thing about Toys for Bob is it's...
It was released in 2011.
Yeah. So it must have started in, like, 2009.
Yeah, I'd say that would be logical to say.
Yeah, so... the interesting thing about Toys for Bob is that... they've done other games. They have mainly level designers, such designers on the team who all know how to script, and so the programmers really create a scripting or a level development system very similar to something I suspect you'd find in like Little Big Planet, but a lot more less polished. And they just tell
and with more features
and with more features and more customizability, and then they're probably something more similar to Unreal Engine, and that when you're using Unreal Script, and they just tell them to go at it, kind of. I mean, they obviously have a lot of structure to it and all that jazz, but the level designers are the ones who are directly making the game, which I think is where a lot of like the originality and the really like tight level design of Skylanders come from. And the toys mechanic was that Paul Ritchie was a big fan of miniature games for years, as we talked to him about. And he always thought, like, toys were a lot of fun, and he really liked toys. And
the
so,
company is called Toys for Bob, so...
Yeah, so they were like, huh, why don't we make, like, a game that worked with toys? So they hacked together, like, the Portal of Power, and they hacked together some toys.
They did hack it together. They showed some images of the development. It's like, there's... It looks like a circuitry nightmare. Like, yeah. There's this one guy sitting at his desk with, like, a plastic... Looks like the top of, like, a butter container or something with, like, an Arduino strapped on top of it with wires everywhere, like, trying to get it to, like, detect the RFID tag in this, like,
which
other
thing.
Which
is a security issue.
And they somehow got enough of it working that they were able to talk to the publisher, Activision, and say, hey, we have this really cool idea, and we can prove it works.
I think I remember him saying they got it together, like, right before the pitch, and he was afraid it wasn't going to work, and... They ended up really liking it. I think one of the first Skylanders even was Happy Trigger. So, essentially their idea was, hey, we know Spyro's cool and everything, but what if we create this world random with other figurines and we do this collectible thing? And I mean, I think a lot of people give Skylanders a bad rap because they're like, oh, Activision's just doing this to be money-making cash cows. And to an extent, I mean, they are, but...
They are making a lot of money.
They're making a lot of money. But Skylanders was designed because it's a lot of fun to... play with toys, and it's really cool to be able to see the toys that you play with go into video games.
Yeah, and it also works really well for kids, because at least the stories I've heard from my mom, who teaches preschool, she said that like many times the kids talk about how they love to, like, you know, throw your Skylanders in your bag, go over to your friend's house. They have the Portal of Power, which is the base you place the figures on. You know, anywhere you go that has that base and then the game associated with it, you can use the figurines, so they're ubiquitous across anybody who has the game. So you can go over to your friend's house, and as long as he has the game, you can actually play with the figurines that you have. So you guys can get different ones and still play together, you know, in a co-op world with your own personal characters.
And they're your characters, yeah. Which is the cool thing, because it saves the data of your play.
On your figure,
on
right?
your figure, yeah. Which is crazy. I don't know how they do everything so fast.
RFID.
Yeah.
That's how.
So it's really cool, and the marketing was amazing for it.
Oh, yes.
And so Skylanders...
And the timing.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure that launched right around Christmas, I think.
Yeah, and Skylanders were sold out everywhere. And the game's really cool. I mean, essentially, it's just a beat-em-up, but but it works perfectly with what they were doing, because you just, you have all these characters who play differently, and you can just play around with them, do these different challenges, and it's just a fun beat-em-up type of game.
With co-op. I mean, with co-op, like, good too. Couch co-op with you and your buddies, like, is it two or four?
Two.
So you and your buddy, you know.
The portal power can only support two, I believe.
Co-oping through the world, like, on the same screen, just, like, good old-fashioned fun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it works really well with, like, the market they aimed for, and then also, like, people like us that just kind of really like fun games.
Yeah, and the voice actors they got were phenomenal, too.
Oh, yeah.
They have, like, every awesome voice actor.
Forgot ever. About that.
They have Invader Zim, and they have, what's his face from Family Guy? Joe?
Oh, yeah. Patrick Warburton. Yeah. Oh, Patrick Warburton.
And so it's just really cool, because you're like, oh, I know him. Oh, I know him. It's like, oh, wow, this is a big cast, so it's a really cool game. I need to play more of it.
Parents really like it, too, surprisingly. Even though they have to buy more stuff to go with it, I think it's easier for them to justify buying, like, an $8 figure every now and again for their child to go with something they already have than to buy them a whole new game.
And there's a lot of content that goes with each figure. I mean, you get an entirely new playstyle, and you also get a bunch of challenges that are specific to that figure that you have to complete.
And they've also released, like, level DLC. I know, mm-hmm. like, there are pieces that are new levels, I believe.
Yeah.
That you can, like, purchase as well.
Which is really cool.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it, like, as much as it is a very expensive thing, it's, after the initial purchase, you can really determine, like, and extend the gameplay as you want, which I think fits well for parents who don't want to have to buy a brand new game every time your kid beats the last one they were on.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably getting hours of content. I mean, since there's so many Skylanders, you really don't... I don't know if I would get bored even after, like...
A lot of Skylanders.
Yeah. And then they release new ones every year, with the old ones being backwards compatible, which is really smart. Like, Giants. And the cool thing about Giants is, like, I don't know, it's like, oh, look, big Skylanders. And the world is like, rawr. And...
What was that noise?
Rawr.
What's that the sound of?
It's the one I think that comes packaged with the Skylanders Giant set.
I guess that's cool. I like the one with the giant eye. He's my favorite. Yeah.
But they're just really, really cool toys in general, and then you get to play them in the game, and...
They are actually very well manufactured. Like, mm-hmm. if you haven't ever, like, picked one up or messed around with them, you should just, like, find somebody who has one and look at them, because they're actually really pretty. I mean, they're not, like, the perfect toy ever, but I mean, they look nice sitting on your shelf as well.
They're manufactured by the same people who make the McDonald's toys.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. He said that is the thing, is that one of the things they're going to do early was some of the early prototypes. They send them this really beautiful, like, full, multiple-colored, like, really nice miniature, and then get back, like, a shitty two-colored, wrong-colored, like, McDonald's-looking model. Because they were actually the people who did the McDonald's stuff, and they had to communicate back and forth a lot to get them to make the figures that they wanted. And that's why Skylanders are actually kind of expensive, is because they are more expensive than your standard figurine.
Well, yeah, that plus they have an RFID chip, I think, in them.
Yeah.
Like, so there's a cost with that, too. I mean, that's stuck in the base of them. And they're still only, like, what, $8 or $10? Something like that?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, it's $10.
As much as your standard map pack.
And then you can get, like, 20, or... You can get...
They have deals.
Yeah, they have deals. I think they're each go for $12, and then you can get, like, three packs for cheaper. And
okay.
It's really cool, though. Like,
it's been very well thought out.
And they don't try to screw you over with... Like, oh, you can buy this, but you don't know which Skylander is going to be. It's all very transparent with what figurines you're buying when.
That's true. They don't have any, like, mystery Skylander packs.
Yeah, which would be really annoying. Because you're like, oh, I already have 15 Spyros.
That's true. Yeah. No, it's good they didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Watch now with Swap Force, with all the different parts, they might do that. But
it doesn't really matter. Yeah. As long as you get a new part.
And with Swap Force, the really cool thing is that you can mix and you get, like, a Skylander, but then you can mix and match their parts to make mutant Skylanders.
Pretty awesome.
Which is really, really cool. I don't think... It's not backwards compatible, obviously, but...
No, because the old ones don't come apart.
Yeah, but the new ones are really cool, and now I just want to buy that.
It's not out yet.
But I think that adds to the immersion as well. It's not out yet. Okay. It doesn't come out till October.
I think it adds to the immersion, because you have the, I mean, especially for a kid. I remember hearing someone say that some kids have trouble, or they get worried, because the entire story of the game is that you put these characters in the Portal of Power because they've been trapped or something, and then that's how they come alive.
Right.
But then they get worried that the Skylanders are in danger and stuff. So it's really, I think it's cool that you can immerse a kid that much. I mean, I don't think it works as much as for us, but it's still just really awesome because
it's very well done.
And it's very well done.
So with all that being said,
we don't like Skylanders.
We need to move on to talking about
Disney Infinity.
The other things that are now cropping up that are very similar to Skylanders.
Yeah, so Disney Infinity is similar but different. The similar part is that you buy these figurines based off of
Disney IPs.
Disney and Pixar.
And Pixar IPs. So they're Disney IPs.
Yeah. I'm not sure Disney owned the intellectual property of Pixar until recently, though.
But they do now.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter, then.
And you put them on these very similar, or not, well, different portal.
It's the same idea, though. You buy a figurine, you place it on a USB charge device, and then your character shows up in the world.
Which is, yeah, and then the different thing is that Skylanders is really one gameplay mode, while Disney Infinity is a gameplay mode based on each universe. So they have...
Well, the toy boxes are all, like, the same thing. Oh, no, you're right.
Yeah.
No, you're wrong. You're
yeah,
right.
Because you have The Incredibles, which is a beat-em-up brawler, Cars, which is a racing game. Sorry about that. Cars, which is a racing game. Monsters, Inc., which is like a... It sounds almost like a mini-game collection.
Maybe? Yeah, they were talking about it in this interview we watched.
You get to TP things, and it sounds really crazy.
It's like
for
a college versus college battle royale.
It sounds more like a rush week for a frat.
It'll be interesting to see what that one is. Mm-hmm. And then the Lone Ranger is apparently going to have one as well.
Which is, like, it sounds like Red Dead Redemption.
I was going to say it's going to be Red Dead Redemption, apparently, because he just, like, their teaser for it was... It's like an equestrian journey with, like, Western gunplay. And I was like, oh, well, that'll be interesting to see. So we'll see what that is. But the thing that differentiates it out from Skylanders, which is actually really cool, is the fact that it has pretty much Little Big Planet just kind of stuffed into it. It has an entire level building tool that looks... relatively deep. It has logic switches and gates, and lots of set pieces, and a pretty good looking like tool for manipulating it all.
It actually looks more streamlined than Little Big Planet, because Little Big Planet still had, I think, quite a bit of a learning curve to it.
Oh yeah, it definitely looks a lot like a level editor as opposed to a game that is a level editor.
Yeah,
but it looks like it's really well done. I mean, it seems to be, the tools seem really solid. From what we saw, at least, it looks like they're trying really hard.
It looks a lot like Project Spark, almost.
Yeah, I was going to say it kind of looks like Spark,
but
not on
Spark
the same level.
Spark has a lot more dynamic parts to it.
Yeah, Project Spark is Microsoft's new tech demo-y thing that they're making that's pretty much Little Big Planet, but looks really, really, really awesome.
More with terrain and stuff.
Yeah, it has a ton of terraforming tools. It looks awesome. Look it up on YouTube or something. Like, look up their E3 demo.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
It's really cool. The other thing with Infinity, well, the thing that I'm worried about is that with whenever a game is attempting to have multiple gameplay parts to it, I always get a little worried because it's like, well, what are they gonna be able to make every single one of these feel really nice? I mean, most games follow one core mechanic, and they don't deviate much. And, I mean, the one game that always comes to mind when I think of what game had a bunch of different gameplay types in it that try to merge them all together is Spore. And Spore just felt like five different games.
Spore.
And so I'm a little worried that Disney Infinity is going to have a bunch of cool content and a really cool toy box, because they had, like, every cool Disney thing that, like, I could... Like, they kept showing off things like, oh, here's the Epcot Dome. Oh, here's the house from Up. Oh, here's... By the way, you're in the Wreck-It Ralph arcade cabinet. And I was like, oh, wow, that's a lot of stuff.
They haven't even touched on the classic franchises yet, which is...
Yeah, I mean, they have many.
That's going to be
crazy. We saw Disney Castle in there, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's pretty much everything Disney all the time.
Right, and the really cool thing, I think, about Disney Infinity
is that they're gonna play off of every license that they have.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the classic Disney franchises, I mean, we're talking, like, old school Pocahontas and Aladdin and just the really old stuff. If they make content packs for that, oh, man. They're gonna be able to release that alongside of re-releases of the movies again, and...
They have,
if this takes off, it could be huge.
They have less of a upwards battle than Skylanders ever did.
Oh, because Skylanders was working off of the Spyro license.
Totally new IP, I mean, for the most part, though. I mean, you had Spyro in there, but... And that was kind of a big part of the hook, I think, was like older people were like, oh, Spyro? But then...
But the new generation wouldn't know who that was, which is what it was interesting, is that they pretty much rebranded Spyro to be a completely different guy. Because this new generation who is playing the game doesn't know who he is. And probably doesn't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now they love him again, which is awesome.
Yeah. So, it's really... So, Disney Infinity... I mean, it's not out yet, obviously. I might get it if I have any disposable income.
It looks like it has a lot of potential. Mm-hmm. But it is also crowding the market.
Yeah.
Because suddenly there are two... really expensive intro price games out there that do basically the same thing with different licenses. And we saw this happen before with the music games
Guitar Hero
industry.
And Rock Band.
Guitar Hero and Rock Band.
Which, Activision was in a very similar position for, because they made Guitar Hero, and Guitar Hero was like, oh my god, this is amazing! And then they got rid of Harmonix and went to a new developer. And that, which was, I think, Neversoft. Worked on those.
I have no idea.
Red
Octane did at some point.
Red Octane. Well, Red Octane was the hardware manufacturer.
Were they?
They did the hardware,
oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure.
That's cool.
I'm
not well versed on my Guitar Heroes. I'm sorry.
And then Rock Band. And then Harmonix, after they got kicked out of being the developers for Guitar Hero, made Rock Band, which was like, huh, you have a guitar, we have a band. It's like, oh, crap.
Yeah, exactly. And that's... We're setting ourselves up for a very similar problem, because...
Skylanders just switched developers.
Yeah, well, and once, like, both Rock Band and Guitar Hero are on the market, there wasn't really space for both, because they both had really high entry points.
Mm-hmm.
And people weren't investing in one or both. You weren't buying both, so it was one or the other.
The nice thing was the peripherals worked together sometimes, which was really interesting, and I don't think they meant to happen... But, I mean, they work together, because they had the same controller mapping.
Do you think Skylanders and Infinity characters will be swappable?
That would be really funny, but
that would be,
not going to happen.
That would be, like, the ultimate way to fix this.
but
yeah.
That's not going
to
happen.
That's not going to happen. So it's going to be interesting to see how this goes. I mean, theoretically, Disney Infinity would steamroll Skylanders if they were releasing on even planes, because... love license recognition by their audience, but since Skylanders is now an established brand of 2 years now...
And going on... Well, it's in their third. This is the third...
Yeah, and it's... Well, 2 years going on their third year, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a fight, actually, I think. I mean, because Disney has several movies. I mean, the Lone Ranger, the new Cars movie that's coming out next year, and...
There's another new Cars movie?
Yeah, the Planes Cars movie.
Oh, that's a Disney movie. That's not Pixar.
Right.
Yeah.
But it still could be released under Infinity.
Yeah, it could.
That was my... That's
And, I mean, they have Finding Nemo 2 coming.
Yeah, they have lots of movies that kids are going to go see that are going to...
And us.
Drive... And us. They're going to drive sales, which is going to be interesting to see how this all resolves. Ideally, they'd both survive, because they seem like, though they are working off the same mechanic
of... It's not as much as the sameness as Guitar Hero and Rock Band, where you literally have the exact two same games by two different developers...
Competing over the smallest, silliest things.
Yeah, well, with this one, it's like, Disney's being like, alright, so we have one mode that's kind of like Skylanders, where we have a beat-em-up brawler, but we have all of these from other gameplay modes, and you know what, we're gonna be more about, like, level... creation too.
Yeah.
Well, Skylanders is, I think, going a little bit more traditional and being like, well, we're just gonna stick with what we know. Which,
and they're innovating in the toys now.
Mm-hmm.
Which it seems like they've been doing a trend. Not that Infinity won't, but they haven't yet.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Skylanders has the swap force.
Skylanders has the head start.
And they have the head start. And it's gonna be interesting. Like, it really is. I mean, I honestly hope both of them do well. I mean, because they are both doing different things and, you know, working in different ways. So hopefully they'll be able to differentiate themselves enough, and enough kids will want one or the other that they'll be able to both survive. Because, I don't know, I think they're both interesting ideas.
Mm-hmm. And we'll probably, we'll get...
Someone in this house will probably buy Infinity.
Yeah, well, I'm a huge Pixar and Disney fan, so...
Depends on what they add, but I would be interested in that, too.
Yeah.
Especially if they made a Wreck-It Ralph line, that would be cool. But the plot is going to thicken one little bit further, because I didn't know about this, but Blake has informed me today, in fact, that there is another player in this this space I didn't know about.
Rovio. And partnering with Hasbro.
Who is Rovio?
Rovio is the company behind the mildly successful Angry Birds franchise.
Oh, mildly successful.
By mildly, I mean more successful than I think almost any other game on the market currently.
I have Angry Birds air freshener in my car right now.
Yeah, Angry Birds.
Actually, I drink my coffee out of an Angry Birds mug every day.
I think the one thing that everyone should take away from the Angry Birds story is they had the most genius branding in, I think, or they had one of the most genius branding moves in the history of games.
Which is sell everything.
Yeah, I mean, you don't often see games brand as much as Angry Birds did.
No, most of the time games don't brand, which is a shame, because there are lots of us who would pay a fair bit of money to buy stuff from our favorite games, mm-hmm. and it doesn't exist.
No.
You can't buy it. Like, no. There, you have to go through third parties like NECA and pay ridiculous amounts of money for stuff, you know, to get things that you would probably buy anyway.
But Angry Birds branded, and now Angry Birds is everywhere. And the thing is, like, they release new games, and then people are like, oh, new Angry Birds, and they get the new Angry Birds because, I don't know, I think subconsciously Angry Birds is almost everywhere. Not literally, but...
Well, I don't know that there is a platform it's not on.
No, it's on PSP. They have a DS cartridge for it. I think they have a Vita.
They have a 3DS cartridge.
They have the 360 version. Like, they literally have hit everything.
It's on BlackBerry. It's on Windows. It's on Google Chrome. You can't not play it if you want to, mm-hmm. which is
awesome.
It's
free on Android. You paid to get rid of the ads. So a while ago, they came up with Angry Birds Star Wars, which I think is my second favorite version. My favorite version is Angry Birds Space.
Angry Birds Space is really cool.
Yeah,
but Angry Birds Star Wars is better.
Yeah. And,
Yeah, okay.
So, Angry Birds Star Wars takes on the original trilogy, and you go through a bunch of levels resembling different parts of the original trilogy.
It's pretty much Angry Birds Space, but with Star Wars characters.
And with some levels that are not physics-based as... Well, not space physics-based as much.
Yeah.
More traditional Angry Birds with cool weapons and stuff.
It's a really fun mix, actually.
So, they just announced they're doing Star Wars... Or Angry Birds Star Wars 2.
Woohoo!
Which is the prequel trilogy of Angry Birds. Which I'm guessing they're partnering with Disney now. Huh.
Huh.
But they're
maybe this isn't anything to do with... Maybe we're just talking about Infinity again. I don't know.
But they are partnered with Hasbro because Hasbro had this new telepod system. And the way this works, which is really different...
Telepod.
Yeah.
That's a great name.
Yeah, and essentially it's this... large canister that you put on top of the camera of your phone.
It's not a large canister.
It's a small...
It looks like a film canister. If you remember what a film canister looks like, it looks like that.
Yeah, so Hasbro has this telepod thing, and the really interesting thing is they keep saying Angry Birds Star Wars 2 and telepod, and it's like, oh, Hasbro's planning on doing this entire new telepod system where you can warp your favorite characters into games.
How does it work?
Essentially, the Angry Birds Star Wars figurines... So you're playing your Angry Birds Star Wars game, and you want a certain Angry Bird to use. You go into a store, and you buy an Angry Birds Star Wars figurine. And I think it comes with this little plastic part. And you...
The telepod.
And you... All you do is you put the Angry Bird, which I'm guessing is produced by Hasbro, you put it on top of the telepod, and you put that over your camera.
On your mobile device.
And there's a little QR code on the bottom of the Angry Bird, and I think the telepod magnifies it, and it reads that in, and it appears in your game. So it's doing similar, it's mechanically-wise and functionally-wise very similar to Skylanders or Disney Infinity, but it uses a different technology that's a lot less, I guess, intrusive.
There's a lot less overhead to it. Uh-huh. I mean, it's not, there's nothing new with that. It's... literally just scanning a QR code, but I don't know. I hadn't heard about this, and I'm kind of intrigued by it, especially if it does become a line of things or something that developers can purchase access to use from Hasbro. Like, that's actually kind of really cool.
Well, I'd be hard-pressed to see how you could, like, not use it, because it's such a... The technology behind it is...
Simple.
You can implement that in almost anything without a license, because it's just using QR code technology.
So you can sell physical merchandise of whatever game you want.
Yeah.
You can sell your game as physical merchandise.
Now, I'm sure the little, like, magnifier tube with the telepod is going to be trademarked and copyrighted and patented to hell, but...
But there's no reason you couldn't do something similar.
Yeah.
Without that device.
And I'm sure, I mean, we're seeing knockoffs. I mean, it's the mobile market after all.
But it is really interesting to see that, like, even the mobile market, which is, you know, supposed to be mobile and not tied to your TV, is trying to find ways of adding a physical component to its digital merchandise.
Well, and you also have to remember that there's a different version of Skylanders. Skylanders Battlegrounds, I think is what it's called. Or that might be bad. That might not be it. Skylanders iOS something. That is the normal Skylanders with its own portable power that connects to your iOS device.
Via Bluetooth, right?
I think via Bluetooth.
I don't know how else it would do it.
Yeah, probably.
Unless
not.
It was...
But it's Skylanders Battlegrounds. Yeah. And then there's also a game called Lost Islands, but that's not a... That doesn't use the portable power. But, I mean, we are seeing this transition into multiple spaces. And
which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
If you like buying physical merchandise.
And I think the big problem is, and I think we brought this up earlier, is are we going to get another oversaturation of the market?
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
How many figurines of every game do you want to own?
And what point...
Maybe all of them, I don't know.
At what point do you start confusing them?
Hopefully never.
That would be bad.
Yes, it would.
Hopefully,
although...
Skylanders never stop. Well, at what point do you not know which Skylander is from which generation?
Now?
Yeah.
I can't tell you which ones come from which.
They say it on the box, but then you get rid of the box.
I don't know why you would get rid of the box. It's cool.
Because there's a ton of boxes, and they're big. And...
The one thing I will say, though, that I do like about this a lot is you're getting kind of more bang for your buck, I guess. Because there's been a lot of outcry over the last console generation in general about DLC and just having to pay additional money for stuff that comes with the game. And,
which has really evolved as part of a effort of developers to recoup costs in a rising developer cost market.
We could do a whole episode on...
Why DLC exists in games and
yeah.
Whether it, what type is good and what type might not be good. And
maybe we should do that as another episode. But
yeah,
it's interesting to see that there are ways of adding value to your DLC without necessarily adding to the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least making the cost more...
Worth its while.
More worth its while to you as the consumer, I guess. I mean, I don't really feel bad about paying for a map pack of something I really enjoy or buying DLC for something I enjoy and want to see more of. But I can see why having an actual figurine or a physical something can help, you know, alleviate some of those, you know, pains of having to pay for extra content.
And I mean, it could be really cool if for Black Ops 2 or something, if they had, like, you could buy it digitally or you could pay a little extra and buy a physical thing that was like a dog tag that you could scan in.
Well, and actually, this isn't exactly it, but Mass Effect, for the launch of Mass Effect 3, put out DLC with darn near every piece of merch in the BioWare store for Mass Effect.
And headphones. And
my shoes. I have the Mass Effect shoes that they made.
Do you like Mass Effect, Dustin?
Just a little. They came with
There's
a card for DLC for the game. It was like a weapon pack or something. Just thrown in with the shoes, and I was like, wow, that is really strange. I've never received DLC for buying shoes
before. I
still
don't know how I feel about that, but...
But it is interesting to see DLC being tied to things that aren't necessarily just, I'm paying money for the game.
And
because clearly the market has said that's not necessarily always satisfactory.
And I mean, it also goes back to the entire, how do I feel about paying for digital content and non-physical content? And what exactly are you paying for when you're paying for digital content? Which is definitely can take on an entire another episode of its own. So we just came up with three new episodes that you can look forward to in the future.
Yeah!
But I think we're wrapping this one up.
I think so.
Tell us what you think. Tell us if we're crazy for thinking Skylanders is really neat.
And Infinity could be really cool, and Rovio is going to make even more money.
Hard to believe, right?
Ha! Yeah, no.
Join us next week and find out if I have finished The Last of Us.
Because we still owe you an episode about The Last of Us, Walking Dead 400 Days, and Spec Ops The Line.
Maybe Walking Dead in general, but yeah.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. Stay tuned, guys.
Bye.
That was really weird.